This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
And we are indeed live from Duffy Sports Grill on Clematis Street in downtown West Palm Beach for National Spring Training Live. You can hear our live assembled audience of Nationals fans here for the first weekend of National Spring Training games. Charlie Slows, Dave Jagler with you for the next hour and for the first of these three next Sundays that we'll be here at Duffy's.
One of our largest crowds ever, I think, here at this Duffy's location.
You guys did a great job.
You guys are showing
out.
Thanks
for coming out. We really appreciate it. Nationals won their first two spring training games. For those of you back in D.C. listening on 106.7 The Fan, they beat the Astros 6-3 yesterday and out to a big lead early against the Mets today and went on to beat them 11-6. We have a couple of Nationals player guests who are with us here tonight. A bit later on, we will have Jacob Young, Nationals center fielder, join us.
But a right return now, guest. He's been here before.
That's right. But making his debut on this show, made his debut on the mound for the Nationals yesterday, is right-hander Evan Reifert. Welcome, Evan.
Hey, glad to be here, guys.
Well, it's just the way you envision your debut. You get out on the mound, your first big league, spring training, and immediately, you're one ball, no strike. That's just the way you dreamed it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And your pitch comm's not working, and you all of a sudden, you're 1-0, and you haven't thrown a pitch yet.
Yeah.
That was not the ideal start.
I thought that was
an ideal start for sure. But
What happened?
We thought the umpire was going to wave it off, though, because you were having a problem with the pitch comm device.
Yeah.
Then I thought you might be down 2-0.
I didn't even know what happened at first, too. I mean, I didn't know until I walked the guy. I was like, I thought that was three balls instead of four, and he started walking off. So that's all I knew. And again, you know, we worked with it. We made pitches after that, and again, got through the inning. You know, limited the damage there and did what I could. So
was the heart pounding? I mean, because you're new in the organization. I don't know if you would ever with Tampa Bay pitch in a big league spring training game before, but you know, here you are in big league camp. Did it feel kind of bigger than? Did it feel like a big moment for you?
Yeah, for sure. Again, just wanted to go out there and do well, and definitely amped up. Like you said, heart rate was going for sure. But again, I think the fans help with that, and just getting in that atmosphere again too. It's just incredible. So just getting used to it again, and getting the feet wet. It's awesome. It's an incredible experience. So,
Dave and I each had a chance to visit you in the Nationals clubhouse. I mean, you're a Rule 5 draftee out of the Tampa Bay organization. We explained the Rule 5 draft on the air when a player is involved. Of course, the Nationals had shortstop Nysim Nunez, a Rule 5 player, spent the entire year with the Nationals last year in the big league. So now you're in that situation. You want to make the club and stay in the big leagues all year. If not, you have to pass through waivers. Another team can claim you. And then if they don't, Tampa Bay has the option to take you back. It's a rule that a lot of fans don't really follow, but you're in that mode right now.
Right. Exactly. Again, that's where it's like just doing my part over here. And again, I've had really good success in the past. And again, had a great time with Tampa. And, the fans treated me well there and the staff, and wish them nothing but the best. But yeah, it's like it's now it's just time to put the pedal down and, you know, show what I can do here. So
I was reading where they, you know, they were rolling the dice, not protecting you and just hoping that you would sneak through the Rule 5 draft and they would keep you.
Yeah, for sure. Again, that was definitely a possibility, keeping me in double A this year. So it was definitely a risk that they played. And again, extremely fortunate the Nationals picked me up here. So, you know, I'm happy to be here and, again, get to showcase the stuff here and, you know, help win some ball games this year.
When we explain that process, I mean, it's one of the more confusing rules that you know, the average fan doesn't know. You as a player, did you know about the whole Rule 5 process before you're kind of now right in the middle of it?
I did a little bit. Again, I think my agent kind of helped explain that a little bit to me. And again, you know, as it got closer, I mean, kind of a couple months left of the season, we were starting to talk about it and kind of, like you said, the ins and outs of it, not knowing all of what happens. But yeah, just trying to simplify all those rules just to kind of get a better understanding of it.
Because at the end of the day, you still have to, you know, you've got to earn your way onto the team. Now, maybe it does give you a slight, you know, leg up because they use this pick on you, but it, you know, you've got to go out like everyone else in that room trying to put your best foot forward.
And the Rays' gamble is that you hadn't pitched above double A, and they figure, well, teams, if they take a chance and try and pass you through and a team takes you, then they got to jump you to the big league. So they figured the odds are maybe in their favor that it won't happen, but they lost.
Right, exactly. So, again, it's like I had a great opportunity to pitch in the fall league with the Rays a couple of years ago and, again, got to showcase my stuff against some of the better prospects now. And, again, a lot of those guys are in the big leagues now too. So I think my stuff is stacked up against, you know, big league talent. So I think I'm ready to make that jump for sure. So, yeah, the gamble the Rays took, but again, I'm hoping the Nationals really got a gem here out of this. So, yeah.
And as you move into a new room, you've got a brand new organization. Had you ever come across or played with or against some guys who are now in the room with you on the Nationals?
It was pretty much a fresh start for me coming over here. Really, didn't know anyone here. Again, they've made it very inviting to me too. Getting to meet the guys here and the staff here, it's been great. But really, I haven't crossed paths with many of these guys at all. Again, I think the only level I might have played the Nationals guys here was in High A, Wilmington.
Yep.
I think that's really the only time I faced guys, and I couldn't remember who I faced at that time either. So, I mean, again, it's been a few years. So.
Well, I mean, our job is to dig out the little behind-the-scenes stuff. So we do have one prior matchup that you had, and we were talking, and all of a sudden this voice behind me was chirping, and that was Drew Millis. Drew
yep.
loves to talk, former guest on this show. So apparently Drew is one for one against you. He wanted that to
yep.
be perfectly clear that he faced you once and he got a hit.
Yes,
so this
he did.
Was a you want to set the scene or do you remember this or was he so out of below on the radar? I don't even know who that guy is.
No, I do. It was bad because I didn't remember who I let up the hit to. But yeah, it was in the fall league there in 22. I was going into that last game. I hadn't given up a hit yet.
So how many innings are we talking?
I think it was 13 innings.
So 13 no-hit innings
yeah.
in the fall
wow.
league. Wow.
13 no-hit. I had a lot of strikeouts.
Yep.
I was doing really well.
Uh-huh.
And then, yeah, of course, Millis had to come up and wreck that for me there. So I think I had two outs as well and just gave up a little jam shot over
oh.
the
so he was,
over the shortstop. But
he was saying,
Millis
he was
likes to say
– He was saying line drive
say,
bullet.
Yeah, but. He likes saying it was a line drive, but it was just a little jam shot. So oh. just whatever he needs for his ego there, that's all. So.
Evan, you and I talked about this before we started the show. The Rule 5 is unique, but so is your path even to get to that point. It was unusual. Your story, you're from Iowa. Tell us the road that you traveled to eventually get to where you are now.
Yeah. You just want me to start from the whole beginning there.
You can start
from
Iowa.
We got time.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, I grew up small town Iowa, just small town, about 3,000 people, and graduated with a class of 52 people. So, I mean, pretty small. We were a very tight group there. But, yeah, didn't have many offers out of high school. Went to a community college in Iowa for a couple years, North Iowa Area Community College. Pitched there. Again, ups and downs there. I ended up getting drafted my freshman year of college there.
Texas, right?
Texas Rangers. Yep, Texas Rangers. So I was 30th round there. Didn't feel like I was quite ready for that jump there into pro ball yet. So I went back to school, went undrafted sophomore year, transferred, went to UNC for a semester, didn't make it there, and transferred out of there, went to Central Missouri, a D2, and that was the COVID year. So we had shorter draft round that year. We just had the 5-round draft. So I ended up going as a undrafted free agent in 20. And
Somebody had an eye on you the whole time.
They did, yes. I had the area scout with the Brewers. He had seen me when I was at junior college in Iowa there for 2 years, and he also covered Missouri as well. So he was happy to see me come back to the Midwest so he could, you know, scout me and, again, keep my spirits high too, just kind of going into the draft. So I ended up signing with the Brewers in 20, played with them in 2021, and got traded over to the Rays. And, yeah, played with the Rays the last 3 years there now. And, you know, again, gone through the ups and downs with levels and stuff, you know, struggled. And, again, but I think it's made me just a better pitcher and better player just overall now too, just going through just all the, you know, the ups and downs of the game that we all see. So
you traded for a big leaguer, Mike Brosso.
I was, yes, traded for a big leaguer with the Brewers there. So, yeah, it was a good deal too. Again, huge experience there. And, again, I was extremely fortunate for that, and you know, got the opportunity with the Rays after that too. So it was good.
With the background in Iowa, is it Iowa that I remember has kind of the weird situation with high school baseball?
Yes.
So you don't have official high school baseball, right?
We do. We do have high school baseball.
So what's unique about it then?
It's in the summertime.
Okay.
So, which honestly for me was great. Coming from a small school, I got to play all four sports. I got to play football in the fall. I got to play basketball in the winter. I ran track in the spring, and then I played baseball in the summer. So it was just a cycle
year round.
It was. Well, we had still had like a summer break and stuff like that from, you know, like June through I guess like we go back in August sometime.
But the calendar, it's kind of like after the draft calendar, right? Because the draft is in June.
Right. I think Iowa baseball starts about kind of middle of May.
Okay.
And we go through about late July, I think, sometime.
That's different than every other state.
It is. It is different. But, again, with that cold weather up there, too, it's not so bad. I really enjoyed the summers of Iowa baseball there. Just, I don't know, you're going out there, you're playing, waking up in the morning, going out, playing baseball, and go home and eat some popsicles or do something fun, and, you know, just enjoy the summer. So
we got another Iowa guy in the organization. Have you had a chance to meet Joel Hanrahan?
Yes.
Joel, as you know, these folks, remember, pitched for the Nationals, broke in the big leagues, and ended up traded away in 2009. He became an all-star closer for Pittsburgh, and he's been a minor league pitching coach for the Nationals and is now the rehab coordinator. An Iowa guy. So they're not a whole lot of big leaguers from Iowa, but he's a really good one.
He is, yeah. I know. I had to do my homework a little bit on him as well, like you told me to do. So.
And what'd you find out? You got your book report?
No, I don't have a book report on him, though. Again, pretty much what you had just mentioned there, too. Again, just how great of a pitcher he was there with the Pirates there. And, yeah, just kind of circling back to the Nationals now.
So, growing up in Iowa, did you follow big league baseball? The Cubs, I guess, would be the closest team to you.
Yeah, Cubs were.
And they have their AAA team in Iowa.
They do, yeah. They're over in Des Moines there, so it's about 3 hours. I'm from small town Eastern Iowa, so it's pretty central estate there for Des Moines, the Iowa Cubs there. But yeah, we were pretty split between Cubs fans and Cardinals fans. Those were kind of our two that we split between. But yeah, my family definitely was more Cubs fans. We watched a lot of Cubs games growing up, so you know, big Anthony Rizzo fan, you know, all those types of guys. They were good, fun to watch.
We are going to take a break here on National Spring Training Live as we visit with Evan Reipert, Nationals reliever, Rule 5er trying to make the club. Jacob Young's going to join us in the second half of the show. We're here until 8 o'clock with National Spring Training Live from Duffy Sports Grill in West Palm Beach, Florida, here on 106.7 The Fan.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, everybody, it's here. The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is officially upon us. Hey, I'm Rob Bradford from Baseballs and Boring, and we'll have you covered every single day with instant reactions to late-breaking signings, determining which players are, yes, truly in the best shape of their lives, and behind-the-scenes stories from all the excitement and intrigue that spring training brings. Follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We are back at Duffy Sports Grill on Clematis in West Palm Beach. And yes, if you are in West Palm Beach or really anywhere in the world you want to listen to the show, you can listen to it live on the Odyssey app. And, of course, 106.7 The Fan around the nation's capital. Charlie Slows, Dave Jagler with you here until the top of the hour with National Spring Training Live. We're visiting with Evan Reifert, Nationals reliever, trying to make the club and make the jump from double A to the big leagues. How much have you thought about that? The idea that you could skip AAA.
Yeah, no, I mean, obviously it's a jump. It's a big jump for sure. So, but again, I think just the challenges and stuff that I faced already, I think, you know, it's prepared me for this moment here. So, again, it's really taking advantage of it and, again, learning as much as I can this spring too, just from all the, you know, the vets around me. It's just been a lot of fun too, just to learn from them and, again, seeing what they do and just seeing the similarities too between them and myself. It's like I see myself in their shoes as well, just being able to compete at that level. So,
whose brain have you picked so far?
Jake Irvin. He's been awesome. He's been a great mentor, really just coming over. He's really helped the transition a lot. I've talked to him a ton so far, and he's been just a great guy to talk to. And, again, even talking the game as well, he's been good. I've been talking to JoJo Gray. He's been awesome. He's doing great. And just talking to him, and he's been a good guy to talk to as well. And, yeah, those two guys for sure. Those two have been two of my mentors so far.
Nice.
So.
As far as relievers, I mean, you've got a veteran guy like Derek Law. He's been around and, you know, can get you kind of ready for the grind of a big league season. I mean, if you're in the big league bullpen, that's going to be the one big adjustment. Like minor leagues, the appearances are kind of regimented. Maybe, you know, it's an appearance and a day off and an appearance, where, you know, big league bullpen, it might be 3 and 4 days with an up on the fourth day.
Right.
So, a lot, you know, ups and downs, you know, getting warm but not getting in. How do you warm up properly to come into your appearances? It's a, how do you feel that adjustment will be?
Yeah, like you said, it's going to be an adjustment for sure. Like you said, it's, you know, very regimented in the minor leagues for sure. And, again, you're on more of that six-day schedule. You know, you might get 2 or 3 appearances in a week just from that side. And then, again, I was fortunate to pitch in big league camp in 23 with the Rays, so kind of get to go every other day with that understanding what the workload is like there. It's, you know, I think that definitely gave me some perspective of what I need to do and what my body needs to be ready for.
And when you talk about being regimented in the minor leagues on a six-day schedule, when Major League Baseball took over the minor leagues, every Monday is an off day. Nobody plays on Monday, so you know that's going to happen. Major League season, you might go 2 weeks and there's no day off, and every appearance in the minor leagues is probably scheduled. How many times in the minor leagues can you remember when you got up to warm that you didn't come into the game, that they changed their mind and did something else? That usually doesn't happen in the minor leagues.
Yeah, it doesn't happen very much. I noticed in my first year with the Brewers, I remembered a week that I had got up probably like 3 days in a row and I didn't pitch, and then again that fourth day I finally pitched. And again, I felt it on that one too. I was like, man, this is, you know, it's a lot just getting up and getting going. But again, I know I was really young at that time too, and you know, didn't know how to regulate that as well. So I was making a ton of throws, and my volume was very high, my intensity was really high. So I was pretty gassed that week. So I think having a better understanding of that now too is big. So
how much do you rely on kind of the TrackMan data and the analytics? Are you deep dive into that, or are you more on kind of how I feel on that day? Are you big checking in your spin rates and the shape of your pitches with the technology that's available?
I'm big on just checking the shapes, really. I don't check into the numbers too much. It's like I feel like if it's in a certain parameter for me and the shape is right, and it feels right too, I definitely rely more on that feel than I do the analytics part of it. I think keeping things simple for me has been big in my career, and understanding that, just being simple with it and understanding that my body moves really well, you know, most of the time there. So
kind of power of an uncluttered mind. You don't want to be overloading your brain when you're out there trying to compete.
Right, exactly. Okay. Try and keep things simple and just, again, go out and compete and just be a competitor. That's the biggest
thing.
Is
there anything the Nationals have seen from you that maybe they're trying to do that's a little different from what you did in other organizations? I mean, because you come in and, you know, Sean Doolittle's working with you, and Jim Hickey's got more of the old school approach, and Dew's deep into the video and the analytics. Have they seen something that you can tweak to improve?
Really, they've just let me be myself so far. Okay. I think they're still trying to get, you know, they're still trying to understand what I like and what I don't like. Still trying to dive into what I really like doing, and again, they haven't given me too much on it. And again,
so what do you like
really
doing? So what do you like doing when you're right? What are we seeing?
You're seeing a lot of sliders for me. Really, I mean, okay. Again, that's my go-to pitch, and again, I'm going to keep throwing that as much as I can. Again, getting ahead with that, and again, I've got two different fastballs now too. So it's, again, they've really liked the shapes of them, really liked the profiles of them, and how deceptive I am with it. So it's really just kind of being consistent with that now too, and again being through the zone with it.
That's first thing I heard from Mike Rizzo and from Davey Martinez, that you had a wipeout slider that you'll throw to righties and you'll throw it like back foot to lefties, who last year when you were at Double A Montgomery, the lefties hit 117 off of you, a ridiculous number. So the slider you'll throw anytime, any count, whether it's right or left-handed hitter. You throw it differently to righties than you do to lefties. Obviously, lefty, if you're trying to throw it, you know, a back foot kind of slider to them.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm trying to do the same thing to both sides, you know, lefties and righties. I'm still trying to throw it the same way. Again, I understand that it's, you know, it's a wipeout pitch. And again, if I could land it for strikes too and get ahead with it and steal strikes with it, it's just that good of a pitch.
Do you get more ground balls with it? Or more swings and misses?
More swing and misses, really. I mean, I don't have a ton of contact with it. Again, I'll have some that are in the zone there. I might get, you know, ground balls or fly balls if they're, you know, up in the zone. But really, I get a lot of swing and miss with it. So I think my swing and miss percentage with it last year was in the 70s. So
yeah,
it was
insane.
It was pretty good. Wow. So.
So did Drew Millis get a hit on a slider?
No, he got a fastball.
Oh,
I know.
So
I was.
You had 14 innings and no hit, and you didn't get beat with your best.
I know. Shame on me there. Oh. That was on me. But yeah, right. he got one of those lucky fastballs there, and again, I left it through the middle of the zone there, and again, poked it over the shortstop. Lucky him.
He's probably never going to let you forget it, right?
He never does.
He never does.
I mean, yeah.
His locker's close enough to you.
Very close. We're over there in that corner together.
Interview you're trying to do, he's butting in on you. It's really sad.
Yeah, but
how'd you like the facility when you showed up?
Oh, it's great. It's so nice. I mean, it's a great facility there. It's all the amenities they have there are awesome. I mean, it seems brand new to me from what I've seen.
9 years, but it does look brand new.
I mean, it looks brand new. Again, the turf looks great. I mean, all the backfields look really great. I mean, the 14-pack there they've got is awesome. The weight room's nice. Like, everything is really, like, it's truly big league.
The pool, the lap pool.
Yeah, I've seen the pool. I haven't seen anyone use it, but it's there. So, but...
So what's your daily routine? Like, you pitched on Saturday. When's your next go, and what are you doing in between appearances?
Yeah, right now we're kind of on a three-day schedule. So we're, again, through Saturday. I'll probably throw again Tuesday if we stay on that schedule right now. But, yeah, really, it just kind of – we're throwing every day right now. We're really just kind of get our arms into shape right now and just with the workloads and stuff. So it's, you know, I'll throw Saturday. Today was a little light day. We, you know, moved around and, you know, PFP session and – stuff like that. You know, went to the training staff, got a little bit of work done, kept it really light, hit the sauna, you know, just little stuff like that, just to kind of keep the body in a good spot, did some stretching, stuff like that. Tomorrow a little bit heavier, you know, get my throwing intensity up a little bit, get the arm back up, and just ready for Tuesday again.
So do you have a sweet spot to know when you're ready? Like, hey, I'm ready for the season now. Is there a certain number of appearances or just a feel that you have?
I think it's just a feel, really. Again, I think getting more appearances against just live hitting, really. I think that's where I get my best feedback. Again, it's nice throwing live ABs to our guys, just getting able to talk to them after, you know, after I throw and just seeing what they're seeing. And I think just getting feedback from guys. And, again, now we're getting into games here. You know, again, I'm hoping by the time we get to those last, you know, couple weeks of spring training, we'll really be in good shape. So.
Nice. Spring training just the right length for you to be ready? Relievers normally don't need as much time, but...
Yeah, no, I don't think so either, yeah. I think spring training's a good amount of time for us. Again, we've got here till the end of March, and we should be ready. Should be ready by then.
Well, Evan, it's great for us to get to know you and these Nationals fans getting to know you as well here at Duffy's. Thanks for coming by and doing this.
Yeah, again, happy to be here and happy to meet some new faces, so...
It's all new. It's all new. Evan Reifert, our guest here on National Spring Training Live, here from Duffy Sports Grill on Clematis Street in West Palm Beach. Jacob Young is going to join us in the second half of the show. That's coming up when we come back on 106.7 The Fan and the Odyssey app. Here's the pitch. Swing by Young and a drive in the air to deep left field. This ball way back. De La Cruz, warning track at the wall. Going, and gone. Goodbye. Zoom goes Jacob Young to put the Nationals back in front with his first Major League home run. And they're still cheering. The crowd is cheering here at Duffy Sports Grill in West Palm Beach, Florida. Welcome back to the second half of our first National Spring Training Live show. Yes, indeed, the first Major League home run for Jacob Young, who joins us now. Charlie Slows, Dave Jagler with you until the top of the hour.
It took a little while, right? What was the date? Do you remember the date?
Yeah, Father's Day. I remember nice. Being able to text my dad right after. That was a really cool moment.
Third big league game, right?
Yeah, third. 103rd.
Did you know right away that you got it?
I did. Even though it was my first, I still, having played baseball long enough, you know when you got one, and I definitely I knew it then.
And then the next one, was it Angels?
Mm-hmm. Angels.
That was a big-time tater.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I have no cheapies so far. Right. That's a good thing.
I think we have a couple inside the Parkers here.
Yeah, that would be nice. Get the numbers up.
Well, that, I mean, now that you're looking like Stone Garrett here, I thought we had Stone Garrett. Are we going to have a flex off here?
Oh,
this
man.
This is all the rage. It's a shame this is radio, but...
I still look like a little kid next to Stone, so I give him that crown. But no, that picture's done.
This is, you know.
That picture's done more numbers than anything else I've ever done, I think.
And then you're telling people that your weight is the same as pretty much within 2 pounds of what it was at the beginning of last year. And you know, Davey was telling us you just try and put on weight in the off season because you have a hard time keeping it on through the season.
Yeah, it's correct. I mean, I came in. Yeah, almost exactly the same last year. Maybe a couple pounds heavier this year, but almost the same. I just know how hard the season is, and it's not about the strength of it. It's more about the durability of surviving those 162 games, and I know that when I come in at a higher weight, it gives me a much better chance to, you know, try to keep it on or play at a weight that I'm more comfortable with.
Let's talk about the first couple of games. You talk about surviving 162. How about surviving game one? You were telling us you were gassed after your first game. You only played four innings. What happened?
No, I just think those first games, you can train as hard as you can, but when you're in a game and all that adrenaline's going, you're going to a new level of kind of competition, and the next day your body can definitely feel it after taking 4 months off. So, I mean, it feels great. It's the kind of sore you love as an athlete. You're kind of sore, but you know you did a good job the day before, so it's the kind of sore we kind of strive for.
Yeah, but don't you think you throw in you're tired also with more focus and concentration than even when you're training, when it's a game?
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's everything's a higher intense moment, and it was so much fun. It, like, just getting back on that field and playing again. It felt, you know, it's not a regular season game, but once you're in the box and on base, it feels like a regular season game. You're kind of going for it again, and it's the best feeling in the world.
And right away early on, you had to chase a couple of gappers.
Yeah, you know.
One to your right, one to your left.
I was ready for it. Let's put it that way. There's nothing like being out there in center field and being able to chase down those balls. And it was fun to watch Shino pitch for the first time and let him know that we got his back out there. So I think it was a good way to get it going.
We wanted to see more. He only threw 8 pitches.
I know. Hey, that's a good day's work for him. In Japan, I think he's used to throwing a whole lot more. So I think he'll be in it for the long haul.
All right, I got to ask you about your at-bat in the first inning today. You hit a chopper back to the pitcher, and you're never one who's going to put your head down and jog to first, and you sprinted out of the box, and the pitcher proceeded to underhand the ball about 10 feet over the head of the first baseman, and you ended up on second base and 2 runs scored. So, and I think these fans, you didn't give up on the play. Do you feel like your sprint down the line maybe caused a little hesitation or panic in the pitcher's mind to force that miscue?
Yeah, you know, I think as a team we do a great job of getting out of the box. They preach it a lot, obviously, and so I think we kind of take that to heart. And that's kind of, I mean, if you watch all throughout the lineup, you know, Cruz, CJ, a lot of guys get out of the box hard, and so I think a lot of teams have that in their head. I actually did have my head down. I didn't see the flip. I just saw the first baseman kind of jump, and I was like, "Oh man!"
but you were running full speed. You weren't just. I made an out. You had the bases loaded. I'm upset. I grounded out. The inning's over. You didn't sulk and you know, half speed it down to first.
No, definitely not. It's never exactly been in my DNA to do that. So I just, you know, once you hit the ball, you're a runner at that point. Kind of trying to shift the focus and become do whatever you can to, as you see, affect the defense in different ways, and it worked that time.
So talk about full year last year in the big leagues, how you assessed your year, and what you wanted to improve on, what you worked on over the winter.
Yeah, you know, the year was a dream come true. As a kid, you always dream of being able to do kind of what I did, I think, just be able to go visit all these ballparks and play against the best in the world. It was a real dream come true, and I was just so excited to be able to meet a lot of these a lot of the guys that I maybe grew up playing or watching, or I even, you know, played with in video games. So that was really cool, being able to do that type of thing and play. But I knew in the off season I wanted to, try to improve the offense best I can. Find more ways to get on base. That's what we talked about with the front office guys a bunch. Just find more ways to get on base, because a walk's a double, a single's a double, with the stolen bases. So just kind of finding ways to stay healthy and improve the offense.
So when you talk about, you know, kind of seeing guys or meeting guys you dreamed of playing against or played video games as their player, are these conversations at first base you're talking about? Like, you know, you're at first base, and are you a big chat? Are you chatting up the guy? Are you a conversationalist on that?
I've been surprised about, like, some of the guys, you know, coming up, I thought they'd have no clue who I am sometimes. I thought Bryce was a great guy. We talked a bunch. He talked to me about Florida sports, you know, Florida baseball, Florida football.
Oh, he knows everything.
Everything. And he was just a great guy. It was fun to talk to him and just kind of, you know, just hear what he had to say. And it was, you know, it felt good for him to know who you are. You know, you always knew who Bryce Harper was, so it was cool to kind of, he knew who you were. That was a fun time.
Well, did you ever say, "Hey, I gotta go"? You're about to steal Sal. I'll catch you next time.
You know he's trying to distract you a little bit to try to keep you close.
Try to get you picked off.
Yeah, but no, it's fun. You know, Pete Alonso, I remember talking with a bunch. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. was my first hit. I remember just talking to him and chatting with him a little bit, and it's just things like that that, you know, I watch these guys play, and I respect their game so much. Or for them to know who you are and to kind of respect your game is just really cool.
What about before games? So you're doing your sprints. and players a lot of times will meet out in center field. It probably happens then too.
Yeah, I don't know too many guys well enough for that yet. A lot of those guys, they play with each other in the minors or something like that. Hopefully now this year, you know, seeing like someone like Lane, seeing Winker today, stuff like that, you'll be able to see them before games and really get to say hi to them. Those are guys you spend a lot of time with, and they really – those guys taught me the ropes of, you know, what big league baseball is all about and how to act and how to be the best person and player I can be. So seeing them before games and saying hi to them is awesome.
Yeah, Winker was a blast being with last year, wasn't he?
No, he was. And as you saw today, he's the same guy. He's never going to change. So we know the Wink show is going to be there anytime.
He's the kind. We saw that. We were talking about this in the playoffs. He got under the skin a little bit. He's the kind on the other side. He was getting under Milwaukee's skin a little bit in the postseason. So
yeah, he's one of the guys.
You like him on your side.
Exactly.
You don't like him so much on the other
side.
He's
your best friend on your team, but man, he can definitely get under your skin if you're playing against him, or if you don't know him that well, his antics can kind of get on you. But having that guy on your team, it's fun. It keeps the energy up. You're never gonna have a day where the energy's down because he's always gonna bring it up.
So you're talking about, you know, focus on getting on base more, and the one thing you want to do is draw more walks. Well, it's easy to say, hey, I want to draw more walks. Well, how do you draw more walks?
No, I think it's a combination of things. I think honestly, the big thing is hitting the nine hole. They're always gonna pitch you more. They don't want to pitch to CJ. You know, they don't. So I think it's just, when they do throw you a pitch that they probably shouldn't throw you, is taking advantage of it and kind of scaring them off a little bit and getting them off the plate. And then once you do, it's just about controlling your plate, knowing what pitches you like to hit, and what pitches you hit well, and just laying off the tough ones, because, you know, they're really good at their job too. So it's just trying to beat them at their own game.
Well, you led the league and you led the entire major leagues in bunt hits last season. Is that still going to be a big part of your arsenal hitting ninth?
For sure. You know, you gotta have that in the bag, kind of in the bag of tricks, and it's something we worked on a lot this offseason again, just trying to perfect that to first and third and figuring out different ways to bring that guy in, because honestly, it opens up more hits for swinging anyway. Right. So just trying to bring him inside more is the best.
I mean, your best bunt, most of your hits are the drop down to third. Mm-hmm. Do you want to try to more push it past the pitcher toward the second baseman?
Yeah, for sure. The push one's just a little trickier because, you know, the room for error is a little less. If you push it a little one way or the other, it's an easy out. So I actually like the soft one to first too, trying to make someone feel the ball, whether it's first base or pitcher, and trying to beat the other one in the bag. I think is something that I want to take more advantage of this year, put a little more pressure on those first basemen as they're not the most comfortable usually throwing or flipping the ball.
I know one thing I want to ask you about, but I'm going to hold it because we need to go to a break, but I'll let you think about it. Teams tended to want to pitch you in tight last year, and at times you seemed more comfortable pitches middle and away to go the other way, whether you work now on trying to pull the ball more when they pitch you in.
Yeah.
Let's save it.
I'll save it.
All right, we're going to take our break here and come back with Jacob Young, National center fielder, here on National Spring Training Live from Duffy's on Clematis in West Palm Beach on 106.7 The Fan and the Odyssey app. Charlie Slows, Dave Jagler back with you live from Duffy Sports Grill on Clematis in West Palm Beach. Our final segment of our first National Spring Training Live show. We're back next Sunday, March the 2nd here, 7 to 8. Also, our next game broadcast next Sunday, March the 2nd, Nationals and Astros at 1 o'clock on 106.7 The Fan. With National center fielder Jacob Young, and for the break, threw out the question about, you know, opponents, doesn't take long, they scout a player. Okay, what can we exploit? What is he less comfortable with? And for us watching you all year, it was when they busted you in, that was more difficult for you to turn it around than a pitch that was middle or middle away.
Yeah, you know, it's like you said, once they find something in the big leagues that, you know, maybe you're not comfortable with, they're going to keep on going to it until you figure it out. That's kind of the fun, the cat and mouse game they play. And it was something, obviously, we noticed too. And so it was a lot of, you know, trying to shorten the path a little bit was the work in the offseason anyways. And then just kind of working those sinkers in off machines and stuff like that, where you're getting those high V lows, kind of making it uncomfortable so that when you're getting a real pitch, you're able to kind of handle it more. Luckily, I kind of got the fruit of the success of that first at-bat in spring training. It was a sinker baller. It kind of left one more middle in, and I was able to get it back up the middle. And so it's just knowing what's an actual strike inside, too, and not chasing in-off, because those in-off pitches from those guys are even better than the ones that are on the plate.
Let's talk about defense. I think everyone in this room feels you should have won the Gold Glove. Are we in agreement on that?
It was robbed.
You came close. How much did the finger bother you? Because you injured that in May, and you weren't throwing the ball quite as well as we're accustomed to you throwing. How much do you think that affected you?
Yeah, it made throwing hard. Definitely, it wasn't the easiest thing in the world. I was just happy I was able to play through it in general and able to play. Throwing definitely made things tough. But it kind of got more to don't let guys advance more than trying to throw anybody out. Is what it kind of got down to, but. It was the kid, Britton Doyle in Colorado's an unbelievable player. I mean, he's won back-to-back now, Gold Gloves, and he can swing it too, and that's a good part to play defense in. So, all credit to him. He's an unbelievable player, and it was fun just to even be mentioned in the conversation of the Gold Glove. It was just an awesome feeling.
Did it affect you at all at the play? I know we asked you that last year, but knowing now that it's fully healed, do you see a difference?
I don't really think it affected me too much. If I hit the ball off the end of the bat, it affected me for maybe an inning or two afterwards. But in the actual box, I don't think it was too much of a pain. It was more just trying to, workload manage before games and stuff like that.
Yeah, it just seemed like it would maybe get better and then something would happen.
Yeah.
Either you'd get jammed or you'd run into a wall or you'd make a dive
exactly.
And you'd bang it.
Dive for it and we'd see you. Doing like this,
yeah. It was, every time I felt like it was kind of getting better, it would hit the ground one more time, and it would kind of blow up again. But like I said, luckily our training staff's amazing, and we were able to get on the field. My goal was the best ability is availability, so being able to play every day like that was kind of the goal, and we got through it.
So what are you looking forward to as far as defense for the entire outfield? Because you've got a center fielder playing right field in Dylan Cruz, and you've got a guy who can run like the wind playing left field in James Wood. So. Hopefully, there are going to be some balls run down in the gap.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'll start with Dylan. He's unbelievable out there. It's fun to have another athlete like that out there, kind of quick twitch and goes and gets the ball whenever he wants to, and it's nice to be able to have that in the corner. And you got Woody. Man, those strides are nice. I wish I had strides like that, but he's gonna be even better this year. It was kind of a new position for him going to left. He's never really done that, so I think having some training under his belt is gonna be nice, and it's gonna be fun to watch us all three of us run out there.
Yeah, you feel like it's just scratched the surface with him over a half a year, right?
No, he's watching that kid hit every day and do some things. It's unbelievable. We sit back and watch as players, and we know what he's doing, how incredible it is, and be able to watch someone do that every day is honestly really fun at the ballpark.
It's hard to find a guy with an even pulse like that.
Never high, never low. He's maybe the same. He's the same all the time. You can definitely make him mad, and I've seen people kind of.
Try to make him. Mad?
I've seen fans, maybe try to throw out some things to him, and he responds by hitting the ball 450 feet. So I hope anyone tries to make him mad because it makes him even better.
What do you think of the what the lineup might look like with adding Lowe at first base and guy who can just see a ton of pitches and hit some homers and having Josh Bell back? Do you feel that the lineup's gonna be a lot deeper this year, maybe more dangerous?
Yeah, I think the additions are great. I've met Bell for the first time this year. I never knew him, and getting to know Lowe a little bit. They've just been awesome as that older kind of leadership guys that had been there before, seen it, done it. But, getting, Woody and Cruz and CJ some more protection up there is even better. I think it's going to bring some pressure off of them and allow them to even strive even more. And then if you haven't talked about Luis Garcia, and if he's any farther down than that lineup, he might be the best six-hole hitter in the whole MLB if he's all the way down there. So
yeah, he's coming off of his best year.
His best career, yeah. And he, he worked hard, so it's even more fun to have him down there and protecting everyone else. It's going to be. I'm excited for the offense for sure.
I was talking about old guy. You're the old guy in the outfield.
I know. Don't tell me about it. It feels weird. I just started this whole thing. I'm trying to teach them as I go, but I'm learning every day. It's been a fun process.
This team could be fun. You think about the speed with having a full year of Dylan and James and you in the outfield, the number of bases you guys could steal. If you can get on base,
yeah.
That this team can really create some havoc. We've seen the first two spring training games. They're really 5-for-5, 6-for-6 in steals already.
Yeah.
This team's going to – and we know Parra – there is no stop. Parra doesn't have a stop sign.
No, he does not, and that's what we love about him. We're going to be aggressive, and I think that we're going to be a little smarter aggressive this year is what we talked about, trying to cut down some of the outs, but we're going to be aggressive. We know it's our game, and The more we get on, and then we'll have some of these bigger bats, you know, maybe knock a few more over the park and drive more of us in.
Yeah, do you think, you know, maybe over-regressed in its running last year is because the lack of power, the two- or three-run homer, you're trying to manufacture runs as opposed to we get a couple of men on, maybe somebody, boom. We don't have to do it as much.
Yeah, trying to create havoc. That's what we're trying to do, and so we did the best we could with what we were doing, and I thought it was that was a lot of fun, at least for guys like me. That type of baseball is great baseball.
Well, we know you wrap up, whenever we do an interview with you and pregame show, you have a special way, or the postgame show, you have a special way you wrap up the interview. So we're coming to the end of our show.
Yeah, you know, it's always the go Nats.
You hear them, folks? Jacob Young's ready. I mean, last year you had to go short stay at AAA. I mean, and then the whole year in the big leagues after that, you're ready to go right from the start.
Let's go.
Year.
Yeah, I'm pumped. Can't wait. It's going to be a great year, and I'm very excited.
Jacob, thanks for doing this. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Jacob Young, our guest here, National Spring Training Live. We'll be back here next Sunday night at 7 o'clock. Next Sunday at 1, Nats and Astros, all on 106.7 The Fan and the Odyssey app. Charlie Slows, Dave Jagler here from West Palm Beach. Have a good night, everybody.